T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Highway into the danger zone right off the bat here. This is fantastic.
I know my audience.
Well, good morning to everybody here on WGR Sports Radio 550. In case you haven't been listening, the Instigators are off today. They're also off tomorrow as the fine folks down at One Bills Drive are enjoying the rest of the week for the bye week for the Bills. So we'll be live and local all throughout the rest of the week here on WGR from 6 in the morning all the way through until the end of the nightcap at 8 o'clock at night. So with that, Brayton Wilson here with you to fill in for the Instigators today. Looking forward to filling in for the next couple of days. Right off the bat, I'll get off to what we've got coming up here on the show over the next 2 days. So today, we're going to start off with talking with Chad DeDominicis at 10:30 this morning. He's of Expected Buffalo on Twitter, at Expected Buffalo. We're going to talk some Sabres hockey. We're going to look ahead to next season and maybe what we could expect to see from the Buffalo Sabres going forward and get his thoughts on, you know, certain things like Dylan Cousins being a factor on this team, maybe Artturi Ruotsalainen and some of the other moves that the Sabres have made this offseason and how that they could possibly impact the team going forward. Really excited for our guests at 11 o'clock. He's got a book called Off Mike that is out, available now for purchase. Doc Emmerich is going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. Obviously, Doc Emmerich just recently retired from his broadcasting days at NBC Sports, and we'll get his thoughts on just his career and, you know, get a little insight on just, you know, what he went through for 47 years of broadcasting and hockey and how he got into it and, you know, some of the memorable times that he's had with broadcasting and everything like that. We'll talk plenty about it with Doc Emmerich when he joins the show at 11. Really, really, really looking forward to that conversation that we're going to have. Then tomorrow, we're going to start off at 10:30 with Brian Duff joining the show. Good friend of mine, friend of the show, Brian Duff. He'll, again, talk Sabres, get some thoughts on, you know, maybe what this team could look like going forward. And then at 11 o'clock tomorrow, we'll talk with David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com. We'll get some thoughts from him on the Sabres and also some thoughts from him and the latest on what is going to happen with the upcoming 2020-21 season, because there's no telling when the season's going to start. The target date is still January 1st. It's still the time that the NHL wants to get started, but it looks like things are not looking good for the NHL, and we'll dive a little bit into that later on in this show, maybe even tomorrow as well. But if you haven't checked out Elliot Friedman's latest blog at sportsnet.ca, it does not look too particularly good for the hopes of getting at least a plan for the 2020-21 NHL season formulated and in place by the end of this week. Maybe the end of next week is the hope, but certainly what he wrote today didn't look too good for the hopes of getting a 2020-21 season formulated for a start time of January 1st. I don't think it's going to be January 1st in the first place. I think that's the ultimate goal. Maybe we'll see like a 60-game season or a 72-game season or something like that. I don't think it's going to be a full 82-game season anymore, but hopefully at this point we'll see some hockey sooner rather than later. Hopefully it won't be anything later than the 1st of February, I would hope. And if we can get it by January 1st, then great. That would be fantastic. But really looking forward to talking with David, talking with Brian, talking with Doc Emmerich, and talking also with Chad with you over the next couple of days. Again, Brayton Wilson filling in here for the Instigators. And you can join us at any time during this week, 803-0550. That's the telephone number if you want to get on the show, 716 area code. If you happen to need the toll-free number, that's still available at 1-888-550-2550. You can reach me on Twitter at BJWilsonWGR. You can tweet us at our at the WGR account at WGR550. Or if you want, you can text us on our text line. The text number there is the same as the local phone number, 716-803-0550. Also, little reminder as well, since the Instigators are off today and tomorrow, that also means One Bills Live is off from today and tomorrow. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, both of them will be enjoying the next couple of days off to spend time with their families and do whatever they want to do before the Bills get back to work next week as they get ready to face the Chargers next Sunday at Bills Stadium. So with One Bills Live off, it'll be the Brothers DiBiase or Two Bros Live. I haven't really necessarily asked them how they want to address that show because I think that they themselves go back and forth between what they want to be called, whether it's Two Bros Live or the Brothers DiBiase. Either way, Joe DiBiase and Louis DiBiase are going to be on from 12 to 3 today and tomorrow, talking plenty of football with you, getting your thoughts on the Bills, getting your thoughts on the rest of the NFL. If you don't know Louis by now, he's a big Eagles fan, so if you have Eagles questions, you could call him, although I'm not sure if that's necessarily a great idea, but you're more than welcome to, because the NFC East is a absolute tire fire of a division right now in the NFL. So you're more than welcome to talk football with Joe and Louie coming up later on this afternoon from 12 to 3. But of course, right now we're talking hockey as, again, I'm filling in for the Instigators for the next 2 days. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. So obviously with the Sabres going forward here, things were a little interesting this offseason. Obviously, it all started back in March with the shutdown of the regular season. It carried all the way through until the NHL made the official announcement that, hey, regular season action is over. 2019-20 regular season is done. We're going to have the return to play format, but with the Sabres, they didn't qualify. They didn't qualify as one of the top 24 teams to get into the expanded playoff format that they wanted to have. Yes, there's still people that are saying, well, Brayton, technically, they didn't consider that the playoffs because, you know, who won the draft lottery? The New York Rangers, and they were playing. Yes, I know. We don't have to go over that again, but Sabres just missed out. They missed out by 3 points to Montreal for that last 12th spot. So they lose out on the chance to play this summer. They fire Jason Botterill. They fire a lot of the front office staff, a lot of the hockey ops department. Kevin Adams comes in, and it has been quite an offseason for Kevin Adams and the entire Sabres organization. And he's been relatively busy this offseason. Some of these moves have been quite impactful. Other of these moves, probably not as impactful as you want. There's probably some moves that this team has not made yet that you'd like to see the team make. But here we are on, let's see, November 19th, 2020, with still no sight on when this season's actually going to begin. But this team looks like, for the most part, it's come together, and we're probably going to have this team be relatively the same as what we're expecting it to be right now. So, again, recapping kind of the different moves that have been made and everything that's kind of gone on this season. The first move that Kevin Adams made was obviously the acquisition of Eric Staal from the Minnesota Wild. Staal's got 1 year left on his contract, $3.25 million. Then during free agency, Kevin Adams started off free agency with some smaller signings like Tobias Reeder, Cody Eakin, Matt Irwin, a couple of other guys that are probably going to be more of AHL guys. And then obviously the big signing of free agency was Taylor Hall, a one-year deal, $8 million for Hall to come into Buffalo and to be a guy that is probably going to play with Jack Eichel right off the bat on his left wing, which means then you have to shuffle around some movements and everything like that with Victor Olofsson, Jeff Skinner. That top six this time around is going to look a little different than it has in the past, but certainly a lot of the moves this year have been made at forward. You've even got re-signings of Olofsson to a new contract, a new two-year deal. You got Sam Reinhart locked up for another year at $5.2 million. And that's pretty much it, because other than that, the only other real moves that's been made, defensively especially, is the signing of Matt Irwin. You've got depth signings for the AHL likely in Brandon Davidson. You know, you've got entry-level contracts that were signed, some by Botterill, some by Kevin Adams. And in net, the only move that was really made in net was the signing of Dustin Tokarski as a free agent. He's going to be an AHL goaltender. And also the signing of Linus Ullmark, the re-signing of Linus Ullmark, I should say, a one-year $2.6 million. And there are plenty of questions that, looking ahead to next season, how is this lineup going to look? Who's going to be a player that, you know, could maybe surprise and make this team and push someone else out? How does this team compare to last year, and how much better are they truly from last year? You know, Ralph Krueger is a guy that is heading into his second season as head coach in Buffalo. How much of a difference is he going to have in the second year as a head coach? And you're more than willing to chime in at any point if you want to give your thoughts on what your expectations are for the Buffalo Sabres in 2020-2021. Feel free to call us. Feel free to text us. Feel free to join in on the show, 803-0550, or the toll-free number 1-888-550-2550. And some of the questions that I kind of wrote down here, and we'll talk about this more with Chad DeDominis is coming up at 10:30, with just maybe some of the impact that these players have. And here are some questions that I have going forward. And in particular, there's no real particular order, just really it's just kind of like, you know, starting up front, because those were all the, you know, the major moves were all made up at forward this year. Eric Staal comes in. He's the number two center now behind Jack Eichel. You have Taylor Hall coming in, who's now likely your number one left winger. Taylor Hall's going to come in and play with Jack Eichel. What do you do with Victor Olofsson? What do you do with Jeff Skinner? How does your top six of your lineup look heading into next season? Where does the top six look? Where do you have guys lined up? Do you move Victor Olofsson to the right wing? Do you have him sticking on the left wing and maybe playing down on the third line, maybe trying to distribute some offense? How do you feel? How do people feel about how this lineup's going to look? Is a young player like Dylan Cousins and or Jack Quinn going to factor into this season? I would have the feeling that Dylan Cousins is probably the likeliest person to fill in this year. I know that Cousins and Quinn both are currently in Red Deer, Alberta right now at training camp for the Canadian World Junior Team. Cousins actually, I would guess, is likely going to be a top leader, if not the captain of Team Canada this year. He helped Team Canada win the World Junior Gold last year in the Czech Republic, and he's likely to have a big impact this year. Jack Quinn, not too sure about his chances of making the team. I think the thing that maybe he will have a benefit on his side to making the team is the fact that his head coach in Ottawa in the Ontario Hockey League is the head coach right now for Team Canada. So there's a couple of things that are of interest with, you know, is Jack Quinn a serious candidate to make this team? Is it a serious player for him to be able to make this roster despite just being drafted by the Buffalo Sabres just this past October? It's already been a month since the NHL draft, which is just beyond mind-boggling to me just because of the fact that time is just flying by as fast as it has. But Jack Quinn, is he a possibility to play? I don't think so. I think it would probably be better for him to go play another year in juniors. However, the next question is, okay, is there going to be body contact in juniors? Because if not, if they're not going to allow body checking, then what's the point of going back and playing in juniors and continuing your development on the right course that way? It's going to be kind of weird if there's no body checking, if hockey can't be played the right way in the Ontario Hockey League because of local government restrictions due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's something that's of interest that could be a question going forward. But Dylan Cousins right now, I think he should be locked into this team, because if he can't play in Buffalo this year, he's got to go back to juniors in the Western Hockey League, and I just don't think he needs to be there. I think he's beyond that. Also looking ahead at forward, what kind of impact are guys like Tage Thompson going to have on the lineup? Can Arttu Ruotsalainen, who's playing very well in Finland right now, can he have an impact on the NHL lineup? Can he be a guy that doesn't even need the AHL? Just because Ruotsalainen has been phenomenal in Finland, playing in the SM Liiga with Ilves. And I just want to bring up his stats here real quick. But, I mean, if you go on YouTube and you look up some of the highlights and you look up some other things with Ruotsalainen, he's a guy that 5'8", 181 pounds. He's not real big, but he can score, and he's an electrifying player down the middle for that team in Ilves. We got a look at him in the preseason last year before he went back to Finland, and he showed some good promise of being a guy that has some good speed, that could be able to keep up at the speed of the NHL level. Again, the ice surfaces in Finland and over in Europe are a little bit bigger than the NHL ice surface, but he certainly showed the capabilities that he's got the speed to keep up and play at a sustainable level in the NHL and in North America. Currently right now in Ilves, he's got 13 goals and 21 assists for 13 goals, 8 assists for 21 points in 15 games. And Ilves right now is one of the top teams, if not the top team, in the Finnish Liiga. So he's playing at a very good pace. I mean, he's well over a point per game pace right now. 13 goals in 15 games, which is, again, just a very good number to have at this point. And you know, he's a guy that, I mean, man, if it's possible, it would be great to have him be an impact player at the NHL level with the Sabres at this point, if he can get into the lineup, because that would be great. And a guy like Tage Thompson, obviously the Sabres made the commitment to him, signing him to that 3-year deal, $1.4 million per year for the next 3 years. They believe he's going to immediately step back into the Buffalo lineup. They think he's bigger. They think he's stronger. They think that he can be a contributor this year. And the other questions that I have, and again, we'll talk with Chad Dinaminis about this in about 5-10 minutes here, is just, you know, what will be different this year with the defense and goaltending without making any true moves or making any changes there? Because the only real change that's really been made defensively is the addition of Matt Irwin. Lawrence Pilot obviously has flown over to Russia to play over there. And speaking of Lawrence Pilot, he's playing really well in the KHL right now. So you got guys like Ristolainen, Colin Miller, Brandon Montour, Jake McCabe, Rasmus Dahlin, Henry Jokiharju, all back. Those are six defensemen that are all back. The only addition you made was Matt Irwin. And Matt Irwin is a left-handed defenseman who can play both sides of the ice. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of divvy that up. And of course, your goaltending, they're relying on Linus Allmark and Carter Hutton to carry the load once again. Is that the right move? And is that going to be enough to help carry this team anywhere beyond where they were last year? Because the Sabres definitely have to be better than what they have been over the past several years. They have to change around their game. They have to be more of a contender, because I think everybody knows where we're kind of going with this. If things don't get better and things continue to kind of just have the tires spinning around here in Buffalo with this hockey team, it might not be good for the fact that, oh, hey, you know, you've got one of the best players in the entire NHL who was just ranked the sixth best center in the entire NHL behind guys like Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon only, and the team is still floundering where they are right now. And of course, that brings up the whole, well, what does Jack Eichel want to be here? Does, you know, should we be trading him? Yada yada yada. And I think a lot of people know where my stance is with this team is, no, you're not trading Jack Eichel right now. You do not trade him under any circumstances right now, unless things really completely, you know what hits the fan. Then, you know, certain circumstances like that, then that would change. But as of right now, those people that were writing those, oh, how do you trade for Jack Eichel articles over the summer, just it was wasted time for those people, because it's not happening. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll step aside and we'll break here because we got Chad Dinaminis is coming up. We'll get more of his thoughts on some of these questions that I have and some of the different things that I'm thinking about looking ahead to the 2020-21 season. What are your expectations for the Sabres team going forward next season? You could call, you could text, you could tweet in. Give us your thoughts. Let us know, and we'll get those on to the show later on today. But coming up next, Chad DeDominicis from Expected Buffalo joining us here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today and tomorrow. They have the rest of the week off. And we're here talking plenty of hockey with you. Sabres hockey, NHL hockey, whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to join at any time. 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. Right now, we're heading out to the Western Hotline, and we're going to bring on one of the frequent visitors of the show, and Chad DeDominicis from at Expected Buffalo, and you can follow him on Twitter at CMDDominicis. Chad, it's been a while since we've talked, but thanks again for taking some time this morning to join me. How are you doing? Okay, we got Chad now. Chad, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right. Everything well with you and the family during these unique times, I guess we could say?
Yeah, we're now shifting for the at-home learning this week, so it's been a little bit of a fun challenge that I now have to really cap as being a teacher. So
yeah.
Another thing on the plate.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, again, I appreciate you taking some time this morning to join me to talk some Sabres hockey just because, I think we've talked a little bit about it in the past. It's been quite the active offseason, but, you know, obviously with the offseason starting to slow down and we're kind of looking around the NHL and looking at the Sabres, kind of comparing, how would you grade the Sabres offseason to this point so far?
It's tough because the acquisitions themselves are good, right? So there's Hall and Stahl are fine moves, and I think are really going to move the needle. Tobias Reeder, I think, kind of makes sense in the fact that he's a penalty kill guy that'll bring us some speed. I'm not the biggest fan of the Cody Eakin signing, but again, it fits a need. Down the middle is a third line center. I think where they kind of get into the issue is that maybe kind of Stafford Short being like a full A-plus offseason is they didn't really technically move anybody off the roster besides Johansson, and that kind of gets back to your defense. We were going to bring Reckless Line and Montour and pretty much the entire same group. They're going to bring back the same goaltenders too. So I think that's kind of what probably holds it up short of being a full A offseason, but I would give it a solid B plus as of this point.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Do you think there's still any moves or, you know, a move in particular that still could be made or, you know, should be made? And if there is, what do you think it should be?
Well, I mean, you could say, I think, as I just mentioned, I think they should try to improve their goaltending if they can. I think that they should at least try to move out one of Ristolainen and Montour, not only to kind of free up some space, but also, you know, kind of give some players the opportunity too. I recently wrote about, you know, Will Borgen being buried in the roster again. I think he's a guy that deserves an NHL shot, but he's, you know, as of right now, he's going to be buried again. So he's not going to get that chance. And I think you can at least defensively get similar results with some of the guys that are going to be playing there right now, and he'd be much cheaper than a couple of guys on the roster. So while I think those things should happen, I would try to do them. I think at this point it's unlikely. You're not going to find somebody at this point in the offseason to take $5.4 million of Ristolainen. Probably not even going to get somebody to take a little over $3 million of Montour either. So, you know, you're tough. You're kind of stuck where you are. And, you know, that's just the situation we are in the offseason. I mean, we're basically in a normal offseason. We're like end of August situation right now. So we're kind of near the end, and this is pretty much what the roster is.
Yeah, we're waiting for a season that hasn't exactly come to fruition yet with the schedule or anything of that matter. We're just kind of sitting here waiting for players to get back to training camp. Chad DeDominicis from Expected Buffalo joining us here on the Western Hotline on WGR. Chad, you did happen to have an interesting tweet yesterday about a certain player that's still out available in free agency and could be available, and a guy had Anthony Duclair. Now, do you think it would be a realistic option for the Sabres that they could add him, given the fact that, you know, currently right now they have a projected cap space, according to Cap Friendly, of $3.495 million? Do you think that would be anything that Buffalo could look into? And if he happens to come to Buffalo, how do you think that he would fit into the lineup?
Yeah, it's more of a, I think that's, you know, as I put in the tweet, so I think maybe more kind of a due diligence thing, right? Kind of seeing where he is in the situation he would be. I think if they did do it, it had to be the right type of cap hit. I mean, you're looking at like a, you know, like $1 million or something like that. I don't know if they would do that. You want to like four in Ottawa, so I'm looking to come to Buffalo for $1 million. So, you know, I think there's a possibility. I think they're still looking. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I heard they were still kind of sit around, you know, Hoffman for the right price. But again, I don't think that's going to get to an area they need it to be something to work for them. But there's still, so they have feelers out there, and that's smart. You know, if things fall into your lap, you shouldn't be shut off to anything, and then you kind of adjust from there and make it worse. But, you know, DeClaire himself, he's kind of a speedy guy. You know, could be a nice bottom six edge of your roster. He's had some scoring. He's kind of jumped around a little bit. You know, his underlying numbers are not the greatest. But yeah, they kind of fit the mold of what we've seen a lot throughout the offseason, where they're targeting speed players and guys that can get on the forecheck and guys that can produce some scoring. So I think he kind of fits those molds in that sense. But, you know, unless he's willing to kind of come to a price that makes sense for them, I just at this point I don't really see is that likely.
Now, looking ahead to the forward group of the Sabres here heading into next season, a couple of guys that really interest me, and maybe one more than the other just because I think one is a little more realistic, Chad, is the fact that you got two young former first-round picks in Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn, who, you know, Cousins played really well last year in the Western Hockey League, and Quinn in his draft year put up 52 goals, would be a really interesting add, but the problem is, obviously, is we don't know if he's exactly ready. But given the circumstances with the Ontario Hockey League and the questions and whether, you know, they could actually be able to play to their full capabilities with body checking and whatnot, do you think that Cousins and or Quinn could be an impact player with the Sabres this year?
Well, I think Cousins is here regardless, although there's going to be checking and I think that was kind of the plan the whole time. Sending him back to juniors after the year he put up last year doesn't make any sense. Now, the interesting part is he's currently at the Team Canada World Junior tryout practices. So he'll be on that team. So he'll kind of get a head start, I guess, for the season when that World Junior tournament gets underway playing for Team Canada. So, you know, that's kind of good. He'll have an opportunity to play against his peers before he does kind of the training camp with the Sabres. Quinn is a little bit different because we'll see. He's also at that tryout. We'll see what happens. I think that's going to be a really difficult team for him to make. I mean, you know, I don't think Canada planned on having Cousins, Byfield, and Kirby Dach all available for them. So, you know, adding those players and other players that you would kind of anticipate being in the NHL kind of moves the needle a little bit for that team, makes it even more difficult to make it. So we'll see. You know, I don't know what they would do. If it was up to me with Quinn, he's definitely not NHL ready. I don't think you're doing that. You're not just keeping him around to keep him around. He's going to play somewhere. So, you know, if they don't want to, if they're not going to do the no checking thing in juniors, then I guess you could see if you can get a loan out to a European team. But if you kind of follow the news, there was, you know, a kid in juniors who tried to get a loan to a team in Sweden, and that didn't work out. He tried to get a full season loan. The OHL stepped in and said, well, wait a minute, you have a contract. And then that kind of was voided, and now we're sitting and seeing how that unfolds. So there's been a couple players that have been loaned out, but I think, you know, that has to go through the junior team. So that would have to be an Ottawa 67 to loan him out. The Sabres cannot go in there and themselves do it. Now, they can pressure Ottawa into doing it, but the Sabres themselves really have no control if the 67 just say no, and then you're kind of in a pickle because you really can't do much because he has that contract in the OHL. He can't play in the AHL, so you're basically just going to have to send him there. I think at the end of the day, anyways, if the OHL plays, they're going to have checking. I don't think that's going to be that big of a deal, but if they don't, you're kind of stuck if they're not going to let you loan them.
Yeah, and it would be a little more difficult just because you're kind of hindering the development a little bit, especially when it comes to physicality and everything of a player, especially when you're going into the corners and, you know, you play along the boards. You can't necessarily get physical and able to really kind of help develop your physicality that way. But one other name that's really interesting, Chad, and I know that you've had plenty of conversations about this guy, especially on in the Twitter world, is Arttu Ruotsalainen, just because of his impact that he's already had in Finland playing with Ilves. What do you think about him? I believe that he showed a lot of good flashes in what he was able to bring to the table back in preseason last year, but certainly it looks like he's a guy that when it comes time for all these players to return to training camp, he's got a legitimate shot now at this point to probably make a push for an NHL roster spot. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's playing first-line minutes for that team. Leading the league in goals, leading the league in points. Seemingly seems like he's scoring on a daily basis, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, he's 22 years old. He plays center over there. You know, he plays the big minutes in a lot of situations. And, you know, I think that's nice the last few years, how we've kind of seen him develop when they find him. So, yeah, I think when he comes over, I thought last year he played well enough in training camp to get a look, but, you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, if he comes this year and again, look good and the opportunity, you know, I think they have to put him in. You know, you can't be afraid of that. I understand development and all of that, but again, you have to understand the age curves here. He's 22 years old. He's not a 19-year-old, 20-year-old. I understand he's coming out of Europe, and there is definitely some transition going from bigger ice in European hockey, and European hockey is much different than North American style of hockey. So those few things you got to definitely take into account, but, you know, that it just shouldn't mean he's ticketed to play in the AHL or even just, you know, if there's no AHL season, just sits around as a practice guy for months.
And right.
That's crazy. If he shows he can play, he has to play. And if that means he plays over guys like Curtis Lazar or even Kyle Foso, then so be it.
Yeah.
This is a situation this year where this team, the guys they signed to one-year contracts and they're really making a push this year, this is a one-year, in a sense, push to kind of see where you are, and you can't hold back. You put the best players in your lineup, you put your best foot forward, and you make things work out for you.
Chad Edeminis is from Expected Buffalo joining us here on WGR on the Wester Hotline. How are you looking at, if you're Ralph Krueger, and we'll talk a little bit about Ralph Krueger because you put something up on Expected Buffalo about him today, but when you look at, if you're in Ralph Krueger's shoes and you look at your top six, obviously with the addition of Taylor Hall, that's huge. The addition of Eric Staal, you get yourself a second-line center that you haven't had for past couple years, at the very least, since you traded away Ryan O'Reilly. How are you constructing that top six group for the Sabres this year? And how is that necessarily looking here heading into next season?
Well, I think you have to get creative with it. To be honest, I think the thing that for me that's primarily important to kind of kick it off is, you know, with the loss of Johan Larson, you kind of got to figure out somebody who's going to take those defensive minutes, or at least part of it. And for me, the obvious choice, I think, is Jack Eichel and Taylor Hall. They're most likely going to play together. Now, you can make an argument they shouldn't based on the styles, but I honestly don't think Taylor Hall came here to play with you know, Eichel. So, you know, doing that, you know, those two have, you know, Eichel took a step last year defensively, and Taylor Hall has been a good defensive player for the most part besides, you know, that one-off season he had last year. So I think you can get him back to being that player. And then, you know, I would throw a guy like Juergens is up there. You know, he's a guy that can keep up with them, you know, with their pace. He's a guy who can play well for them in the corners, and he can help them defensively. So you can kind of put the burden of some defensive minutes on that line to kind of help your team throughout. And then you drop down and you can have Eric Staal with Jeff Skinner. They've had some time together in Carolina in the past. It wasn't, you know, great by any means. It also wasn't bad either. So you can see if they can rekindle some chemistry there. And then I put Dylan Cousins on that wing because ultimately I want Eric Staal to rub off on Cousins. So I put Cousins on the right wing, have Eric Staal kind of take him under his wing and guide him, because when Eric Staal is gone next year, in theory, Dylan Cousins would then step into that role. So you kind of have, you know, those two match together. And the third line, I think you can get creative. You know, you can put Cody Eakin, who'll be a third line center, and then you can put Reinhart there to kind of boost up Eakin, and then you can put Olofsson on the other wing, and you have Reinhart kind of feed Olofsson with his creativity. So, you know, I know people are going to be like, well, why are you putting Reinhart in the third line? Well, that's not really the way I break it down. So I would, you know, you have your top line, you have Eichel and your Hall, and then you have your middle six lines that would play similar minutes, so you're not really moving Reinhart down to the third line, but you absolutely have to spread out your scoring. You can't, there's no excuse this year to compact those two lines with all your scorers and hurt the rest of your lineup.
Moving to the defense now, and in particular one specific defenseman, because I've wrote about this guy before, Chad, and just, you know, my thoughts on why that this guy should still be a guy that should be moved out of the lineup and should be a guy look to be traded at almost really at not any cost, not a super low cost, I guess, but, you know, maybe at a cost that you're not expecting to get in the first place. But Rasmus Ristolainen, and I think at this point, you and me can both say that he's going to be here to start this upcoming season. So I guess I'll ask you in this way. Even with 2 years left on his contract at $5.4 million, is Ristolainen still tradable at this point, or do you believe that he's really got to kind of prove himself to be able to get to a point where the Sabres could legitimately have that opportunity to move him. Do you think that he's still able to be moved at any point, whether it's at the trade deadline this upcoming season or the start of next season?
Yeah, I think he's still tradable. I mean, Jack Johnson still gets contracts. You know, Eric Branson gets traded every offseason. Justin Falk got traded last year, and he's kind of a similar player to Ristolainen. So, yeah, I mean, I think you can find guys to someone to take him, but the thing is, it's what cost. The Sabres have to get off that they're no longer going to get a top six forward for him. That ship has sailed. That's not happening. Unless he has some monster bounce back season this year,
yeah,
that's just simply not happening. So you have to kind of, I don't want to say at a loss, but in a way it could be at a loss because this could be, you know, an addition by subtraction for your hockey team. So, you know, I think that's kind of the approach they have to take. I don't think they will. I think the coach likes him, and you know, that they see it fit for him on the roster, then, you know, so be it, I guess. It's just, they have to be smart about it. I think this is the year that, you know, they can't play in top pair minutes again. It's just, you can't expect good results by doing that. And Dahlin is in year three of his career. He's old enough now. It's time to take the training wheels off of him and see what he can do. So, you know, there might be a situation where if the means are to get Dahlin to play top pair minutes, he plays with Ristolainen. You know, then so be it. I don't love that, but I think I need Dahlin to play top pair minutes, and if that means he's got to sit with this line on the top pair, then that's the, you know, pill I have to swallow to make that happen.
Yeah, I hear you.
It can't be a Montour and Ristolainen thing by any means of the top pair, because that was nightmarish.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier in our discussion, and I know we've talked about it on Twitter before too. It's a shame just because, you know, you're going to bury a guy like Will Borgen, who I believe, you believe, is ready for that NHL shot, and I think he's done enough to kind of prove that he's a workhorse. He's a guy that can play a ton of minutes and be reliable in both ends of the ice. He's got good skating abilities. He's smart with the puck. And unfortunately, at this point, he's just going to be sitting in Rochester again, waiting for that next opportunity. And it's really unfortunate because not only that, but if you really want to go cap-wise purposes, I mean, he's still on his rookie contract and is going to be a nice player that would be cheap for you. Another one of those rookie contract deals that would be super helpful for a contending team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's frustrating because you kind of, you know, in the back of your head, you know, have the deja vu of Lawrence Pilot kind of unfolding here, right? You know, another guy who's clearly NHL ready is going to be buried in the AHL barring some injury thing, you know? It's not just Montour and Ristolainen ahead of him. There's Colin Miller is ahead of him on the right side. Joakim Haro is still here. But Joakim Haro is probably the best right shot defenseman right now. But, you know, he's buried down the roster. And then if Irwin's ahead of him, you know, Irwin's a left shot, but then, you know, you brought in Davidson too, so... I don't know. I think it's kind of frustrating and kind of unfair to him. You know, he's been in the organization for a while. He's developed nicely. He's done everything they've asked him to do. He played a big role for them in Rochester. You know, and even for those people who want, you know, say, you know, don't move Risto because you're going to lose that edge. Well, Borgen didn't do that. He plays with that edge. He plays a physical style of game. So, you know, you're not really losing that either. So, I mean, I'm firmly in the belief, you know, you can't make guarantees, but I firmly believe that Borgen would give you better results defensively than either Ristolainen or Montour.
Last thing I want to ask you, Chad, and I'll let you get the chance to plug the website Expected Buffalo and your story here. You teased it yesterday. You released it this morning. Ralph Cougar, the most important person on the team for the Sabres to reach their full potential heading into next season. Why?
Yeah, so there's that story is at expectedbuffalo.com. You can check that out. So the reason is that you might think, well, why does that make sense? Because a lot of players that kind of touch one area. You know, the example I brought is Jack Eichel. If he plays great, you know, that doesn't mean they're a playoff team. We've seen that in the past, where Kruger touches so many areas. And a lot of the things we talked about, the way the lines are deployed, defensively playing Dahlin, figuring out what to do with Jeff Skinner, because there was something definitely there last year, and he needs to figure that out and put Skinner in the right spot. If you're going to put Skinner with Cody Eakin and Tage Thompson on the third line, you're going to get similar results to last year, and you have a $9 million winger there that you have to get back. So there's that. There's the creativity of the lineup, which I talked about. He kind of did last year, some creativity situationally moving players around. He needs to continue to do that. And then one thing we talked about is if a guy like Ristolainen or Thompson, if they outperform veterans on the roster, they need to play ahead of them. So there's not just a couple areas. There's so many areas on this team that he touches. And while the team is improved and the roster is improved, and you can reasonably make an argument that they're a playoff team, or other years you kind of bend over backwards to do that, this year you don't. But they're not improved enough where they can overcome poor coaching decisions, poor utilization, and poor deployment. So I think that's why he's so important, because there's not that room for error. And if he does, you know, kind of the common sense things or kind of the things that make sense, I think you can absolutely have a team that I think can keep your playoff spot. And then if he doesn't, you know, he could argue be the one to derail him.
You can follow Chad on Twitter at CMDDominicis, and you can also find his work at expectedbuffalo.com. Chad, thanks again for taking the time this morning to join us in your busy schedule. Hope you have a great holiday season, and hopefully we'll get the chance to talk some Sabres hockey again real soon.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Anytime. All right. Chad DeDominicis is joining us here on the Western Hotline. We'll step aside, take a timeout, and we'll have Doc Emmer coming up at 11 o'clock here on WGR. My thanks again to Chad DeDominicis for joining me last segment. If you missed that, you can find it on demand at WGR550.com. Or if you're on the radio.com app, you can use the rewind function and listen back anytime up to 24 hours. And you can go back, listen to what Chad had to say about the Sabres, and get his thoughts on what we could see heading into next season. We'll step aside, take a quick timeout here. When we come back, Doc Emmerich, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, the NHL broadcaster, will join us next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.